companies constantly face challenges, and that's fine. The question is that what kind of answer they are giving for that. What we see quite often that they are answering by changing their organization, creating new departments, merging departments, or changing department heads, leaders, manager here and there. These kind of changes bring results, but quite often we see that they are bringing results only on the short term. And then many companies do the same again. When we are facing companies who are doing this for 5, 4, 6 years, we start to doubt that this method will help them at all. The question is, what is that these companies miss to see? Considering processes and thinking about and improving processes is a good answer to this question. And that's why I invited our guest, Matti Pertula. Welcome to Change That Works, a podcast by ICG about change, leadership, and innovation that takes you behind the scenes. Today's host will be Péceli György. My guest today is Matti Pertula, a Finnish colleague working for ICG. He's a partner and leader in the ICG group and in the Finnish ICG Innotiimi. Matti holds a PhD on creative problem solving, and he has been working for more than 10 years for construction industry and manufacturing companies. And he has a huge experience as a consultant in business process management and complex implementations programs. And from personal side, I also have to share with you that Matti is a very energetic and inspiring person, and we are going to have a discussion on business process management. So hello, Matti, welcome.
Hello, Jyri. Thanks for having me and for the kind introduction.
As I mentioned, our topic will be business process management, but could you give us two sentences about what is the definition of business process management? What is that?
Well, of course, I'm sure there are many different definitions, but let's try one of them. So for me, business process management is a way to increase organizational performance, and it's quite of a particular and well-established way. And as the name goes, it's about business processes. So more widely on how we design, document, communicate, implement, re-engineer, develop those business processes. And it's kind of a holistic systems view on how we create customer value and how the organization works, basically. And it's also strongly founded on the idea of continuous improvement, which is built into the best PPM systems.
When I was doing my research for preparations for this podcast, I found that business process management has been with us for quite a long time. So find a lot of quotes from the 90s and the 80s. So how is it possible that it is still relevant today? Isn't it something outdated, or why do we have to talk about this now?
Well, that's an excellent question. Let's start off that I would say that organizational development theories have been around for ages, so even as early as 50s and the 60s, and business process management being one of them. So I'm a huge fan of the classical organizational theories. I'd say that the theories are even more valid and valuable today as they were, but the big issue is that how do we really apply them in a context? That's what matters the most.
Why is it relevant today? Because there are some new methods and ways to implement it and how to find the ways it can be made working well?
Yeah, exactly. And I would say perhaps the strongest linkage would be to this more human approach to doing things and the whole change management concept. So business process management is considered technical in a sense that experts draw some flow diagrams and then they worry that why aren't people using them and why is reality something else than the beautiful charts. So I'd really say that we have to mix and match these business process management techniques with the human-centered approach and change management. And I think that's where the magic happens.
Do you have an example on that or a story on that which describes it? Because coming from a bit of technical background, some people might think that, okay, business process management, as you mentioned, is strongly about defining processes and writing down processes. And now you started talking about the human element. And for me, it's a bit difficult to comprehend at first. So do you have a story which helps us to understand?
Yeah, well, of course, one particular story just happened a couple of weeks ago. So I was actually on a fishing trip with a good friend of mine who happens to be a business unit manager. And once we were riding back, it was like a 3 or 4 hour drive. We ended up talking about business processes. And then he said that, okay, we're just about, you know, working on them. So I am now drawing flowcharts with one of my experts. So they really took the approach that, okay, let's see how our system works. And there's a couple of guys just drawing never endless diagrams. If I'm over exaggerating a bit, being the consultant that I am, I started to move the discussion into how can we really get them implemented and how should we describe the process and how to create meaning and communicate. And then we started to have an interesting discussion, and this business unit manager, and he said that he's so engineering-like that it's hard for him even to imagine what this human-centered approach could be. But of course, when we were talking it through and talking over, is that we use visual descriptions and create meaning and communicate and really take a whole participatory approach to dealing with BPM, is that I think that's again where we can get some real results out of the whole program.
And does it also mean that in this program, it's affecting the role of the leaders and managers? So they need to redefine their way of working somehow. So as you mentioned, that he realized that, oh my God, I'm such a technical person. That also might imply that he realized that he needs to change in some respects.
Well, exactly. I think you're right on the money here, is that, yes, I do think that managers must evolve their approach to the way they manage and lead people when we deal with business process management. And bluntly said, I think that managers are good at basically two things usually. They're good at doing the business and they're good at leading their function. But as companies grow and then we end up facing, let's say, complex problems or issues, so then this is no longer sufficient that you know the business and know the function. So what business process management is a socio-technical systems approach to the way we lead and manage our business. And it indeed requires managers to develop new competencies.
And what kind of recognizable patterns of change in the behavior or attitude or competencies of leaders you see in these kind of problems? Or in other words, what kind of directions your friend identified after this fishing trip that, that it would be nice for him to change and learn and go to?
Yeah, again, a really good question. So first of all, there's nothing you can basically say or do in an instance that would change the way a person thinks about something. But of course, when you really engage in dialogue and have a program or project together and you really have the shared objectives, so that's when the learning happens and the thinking starts to change. And after the thinking changes, then the actions might change. So to be a bit more specific, first of all, of course, every leader is an individual, but perhaps we can draw some conclusions first on how the typical manager sees business process management. I start with a simple question. When I say business process, what's on your mind? What's your mental image? What are you thinking of? And the typical caricature-like image would be that, again, there's like kind of a flow chart, and then there's the idea of compliance and perhaps a bit of a negative model in the sense that it would be bureaucratic. But then when you start to ask the right questions and we start to think more that it could be kind of the cooperative way of working together, is that let's agree on how we work in our organization, just cut out the hassle and, you know, the endless discussions on who's supposed to be doing what and roles and responsibilities and so forth. So the question we usually ask is that what would be the benefit if we agree on the way we work together? And once you ask that enlightening question, that's when the benefits start to appear. And as they start to list the benefits to that question, that becomes quite endless. And through, again, asking the right questions, we start to change the mental models. And then it comes a whole different approach than mapping charts and asking people to comply to them.
Okay, that's fair. Really enlightening idea that business process management is helping moving from bureaucracy to cooperation. But how do you change the way the manager think and act, and especially taking into consideration that quite often they have been doing the same style of leadership for many years, maybe 10 or 20 years. So how can you affect that?
Well, earlier also mentioned, you have to first change the way people think, and only after that they will change the way they act. So it's about influencing their thinking. And the influence in the thinking doesn't happen overnight or doesn't happen through a fancy presentation or a slide set. that the consultant will show you. So I would say that it's a learning process, and that comes from new experiences, and also that those new experiences are beneficial and somehow solve the everyday problems they are facing, and then they feel that they are improving as leaders, and even the KPIs may show an upward trend. But how we actually do this, that of course we start by introducing some of the BPM concepts. In our programs, we discuss motivation. The saying goes, if there is a will, there is a way. So once they really start to see and become interested enough in this kind of a new, different way of managing or leading the people, so we just want them to be enough motivated to start the journey with us. And then it's just as we go onward, so through the ongoing discussions and working on the topics and engaging in real life situations, so they start to shift their perspective a bit more towards this cooperation and a common way of working and really utilizing the process descriptions as part of their daily management. And we are, of course, their sparring partners in this journey, guiding them, but ultimately it comes from inside them, how they adapt to their new roles and new style of leadership.
Do you have some more specific personal stories on what the managers and the people will do and see?
Yeah, if you're comparing, so what they would usually do and what we could do from a more constructive perspective is that, let's say that if a problem arises and you have these managers who tend to shoot from the hip, so to say, is that what they can usually do, or actually they are trying to do, is that they just come up with a really nice email straight to the point that this is our problem and here's how we fix it and shall we do this. But the difficulty with this sort of approach, that if it would be so easy to solve it that one single email would work, so of course we would have done it years ago in a sense. But the problems that organizations face performance-wise, they can be actually quite complex and built into their way of working, into the system itself. So if you take this, let's fix this with an email approach and replace it with a kind of more analytical and problem-solving techniques, and the idea of we have this blueprint of how our company works and let's stick to that blueprint. So then you'll open up a whole new avenue of thinking and way to fix problems. And of course, problem solving in the context of business process management should always involve the teams as well. So it's a collaborative effort. So identify the stakeholders and really work the issues through with them. And again, for me, it's not, you know, quick fixing complex problems. You might be able to fix them for 1 week or two, but rather developing a system that sticks to those root causes, and then the performance would be so-called sustainably increased, that you have enough patience also to work on the system rather just to try to shoot from the hip and fix problems as we go, because that hardly works.
If you allow me to share a few personal stories, because I've also seen some of those emails sent out. And I'm not sure if managers realize what kind of effects they can lead to. For example, as you mentioned, it was so easy to fix the problem, then it would have been fixed 4 years ago. But looking from the people's perspective, when they are reading that email, I found quite often that they know that this is not a solution. They know that this is a flawed order. They know it is not going to work. And this can destroy the reputation of the leader. This can lead to frustration. And this can generate a lot of additional waste. So what you're talking about seems like a very great way of reducing these kind of wastes and getting to a more lean company.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right there. So the reputation of the leader and just generally, because we could behavior like this, so it just causes some bad will into the organization. People get upset and it really doesn't help the cooperation part. And the more we do that, the more it even becomes a cultural effect in the organization. And I've also multiple times met organizations where really the capability for problem solving is diminished completely. For me, it would be really hard to have a company that's not competent to solve these complex system problems. So I would absolutely work on that. And business process management is, again, a really good framework which meets the principles of problem solving.
And you mentioned that there are specific roles and specific responsibilities. And I think we were discussing about process owners. So what makes a good process owner? How is it different from being a leader or a manager in a company?
Again, very good point to make. First of all, that's something that's usually a bit misconceived, and I think it causes problems. So how I'd structure the answer to that question is that there are two key roles. One is the role of the process owner, and the second is the role of the line manager. So I think it should be quite clear what belongs to the process manager responsibility and what to the line manager's responsibility. And in general, we say, of course, you can design the process management model and the roles how you like it. But I'd say the benchmark is so that the process owner takes care that the process that person owns, so it's really documented, visual, and easy to follow. So let's say, on theory, it's a perfect process within their context. But still, the thing is that process owner can't go and implement it and daily manage it. Let's say if you have an organization bigger than 10 person or 1,000 persons, whatever. So the ones who are there with the employees in everyday working are actually the line managers and the team leaders and the heads of functions. And then the line managers takes care of implementing it and doing the effort in the daily leadership that people do follow it and also give recommendations on how to improve it. So they take care on the groundwork, so to say, of that process.
But does that mean that it is a change in the classical responsibilities in an organization? Am I understanding the situation correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're following it correctly. So, well, first of all, the process owner needs to be one person. And if you have a sales process, it would only be natural that the one owning it will be the head of sales. But then we have to think about it in a sense that we're not mapping how the sales function works. We're mapping how we do sales and marketing in our company. And actually, we're mapping how do we create value, so how do we get the customers interested, and how do we make the deals, and how do we sustain those customer journeys with us. So the process itself should be cooperative, and it doesn't matter to which function the people belong. So we will map all we do to serve clients.
So you gave an example of a sales process where there is a sales department, but now I'm asking help from you some coaching, we can say. So it's a huge cooperative process. What we have to know that this process is going through many, many huge organizations. And in this situation, how you see the role of the process owner? Because in this situation, I think it wouldn't be fair to say that the process owner is the owner of one of these departments which is participating in the process, because I would be afraid that this owner then would create a process which is a bit more supportive for their own departments than the others. So
playing a bit of political games. So yeah, I think we come back to the notion, and the idea is that what is business process management? And if we say that it's kind of an end-to-end process which cuts over functional boundaries and shows how we create customer value together. Mm-hmm. So once you really take that as the starting point and you try to get rid of the organizational chart in your head, so that's when you can really map these processes that would make sense to everybody. And with a good process management system and process description, we're kind of taking the black boxes away. So in a sense, a black box is so that you give an input. Then there's the blackness, so that you really don't know what happens, and then you have output there. But what we want to do is that we want to put the lights on to everybody and, you know, show how our system works and show that actually we are, you know, acting with the functions together and creating this value. So that's what you actually have to visualize and show. So I'm not into politics, I'm not into power games. So if I would see something like that, of course, we gotta talk it through, because that's not how the way the systems work.
So it's a quite fundamental change in business process management that there are no black boxes anymore.
Right, yeah.
And yeah. I'm just thinking about the role of the process owner, that is it more like a role who is defining the things, or more like who is facilitating the things? And by things, I mean the process description and how you do the processes.
Yeah. I think now we come to a bit to the, let's say, blurry lines on who is supposed to be doing what. But if we agree on the notion that process owner takes care of the documentation and then the line manager takes care of implementing it and running it on the daily level. So I'd say that's the foundational idea that we're giving in terms of roles. But then when we go into the nitty-gritty details of who will take care of the trainings and who will facilitate workshops and who will design your process KPI systems and so forth, I think those are the questions that we just need to agree with the people and look into the organization and look into competences. Then it can be some sort of balance that, okay, the process owner with the developers there, so they will do the e-learning stuff and, you know, all of the training materials. But then the line managers will run their change workshops and use some of this material. But anyway, it's the line manager and process owner, for sure they can cooperate and do things together. For me, it's about agreeing.
Mm-hmm. What you tell is a very high level of involvement of people. I'm asking this because I've seen a few occasions when there was a process owner and that process owner was inside their own organization. I'm not sure that this was a correct setup, but what happened is that in my department, my process owner described the process, and after describing it in their ivory tower, they went to the other departments and told them that, okay, this is now the process and you have to do that. And what you are discussing, I think it's completely different, fundamentally different from this idea.
Wow, yeah, indeed. And you said the key phrases there is that high involvement of people. And you should do that as early as possible. In our programs, when we start even defining and describing and documenting the processes, we come up with these cross-functional teams and really try to get to the bottom of the things and write a description that makes a whole lot of sense, uses terms that are easy to understand and really takes a stand on the issues that people are facing. So only through that can you make a difference. And what you leave behind, you see in front of you. If you cut some corners when you're describing it, you will face those problems when you're trying to implement it. And if you now, it's not even cutting corners, it's just, you know, hacking your way through, there will not be a chance to really get this implemented and not be a chance to increase your performance with the help of BPM if it's done in such a way.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you have to write down some processes for all. These are, I think, corners you cannot cut, judging from your words. But the question is that who is doing that? Because it can be quite a big work and needs a lot of people, I think, to do this paperwork. So does the process manager handle the documentation alone, or do they involve others, or how it goes?
Well, first of all, if you want people to work in the same way, it's impossible if you don't agree on the way you will be working. So without a good process description, this is impossible. And the process owner, so let's say if it's a VP of a department or head of something. So yeah, probably they're not always that competent in really logically explaining and visualizing and describing how the processes would work. What we do is that we come up with a development team, and then the process owner has their team together to help with the documentation work. And of course, the recent advancements in AI actually do help a lot. So I think we have been really able to increase the quality of the process description and the speed we make them, just helping AI with the wording and so forth. What you write and how you write it will matter a lot to be understandable, and also so that people, you know, feel that it's a good thing and they want to follow it and know that it's the right thing to do.
Going back to questions to our leadership, a very simple question is that a business process manager, is it a standalone role or should it be a head of department?
It can be both. So I work with companies who have dedicated process managers, and then it's more often that you just name somebody to be a process owner or process manager. There's a lot of synergies between running your department and being a process manager. Then what would be the pros and cons of having a dedicated person or having the head of department act? So of course you can make kind of a list and compare, but I think from the context it's pretty self-evident, because if you have five processes, you would hire five process managers and train them and utilize them. So you'll end up, it's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of euros. So you need to get some value out of that as well.
What if you have, like, I don't know, 50 or 60 processes?
Well, if you have 50 or 60 processes, that's a good question. So first of all, what you should basically do, and this is a really big question, is that you have to create the process architecture. What we do is that we limit the amount of core processes. Usually, more or less any business can have 5 core processes if they're end-to-end. And those can be composed of processes and sub-processes, whatever you want to call them. But 50 is way too much. Nobody can manage such a thing.
So if somebody listening to us has so many processes, they probably need to think about how to simplify and find their core processes and identify them.
Right, right. And it's called developing your process architecture. Mm-hmm. And if we come in, that's usually one of the first observations is that, okay, well, 50 is not even, it's actually quite little. You can have 200 or 300 because they're not hierarchically structured. And then you'll say that, okay, who on earth could follow this, because you will have your sales and marketing process on the same level as you will have changing your doormat process in the company. So there's no way that can work.
Thank you for explaining. And now jumping to the next topic, that I imagine that we have all our processes and architecture is completed and fine, and we have all our documents, and we are going to the implementation phase. So what kind of difficulties you see in the implementation?
A huge question you are asking, Yuri, but let's just, you know, start to digest it bit just by bit.
Only for the sake of the listeners.
Sure. Okay. So let's see if we can make sense of this. So if we accept that business process management is not about departmental flowcharts, which I hope is obvious to everybody at this point, so instead they should be mapped end to end and they should cut across departments. And if we really want to implement a business process program in the company, it's not a thing of a week, it's not a thing of a month. It actually takes you, we can say, from 1 to 3 years typically. Of course, it matters on size of company and how much emphasis you put on it. So I'd say just simply how to implement processes, which is actually the key question that my customers always ask, is yes, I know how to map them, but I don't know how to implement them, is that I will go back to the change management framework. So of course you develop a program and assign roles and you really think about how you do the steering, how you do the implementation, communication and learning, and really, really build those feedback loops into your system and take all of this like super, super seriously that we're trying to influence on how people work. So you gotta really put effort and emphasis. And we have a rule of thumb that if you spend like 1 unit on describing the processes, so you have to spend 10 units on implementing them. And now what happens is that it's vice versa, that, okay, now we map the processes, now we have one training event and that's it. So actually you spend 1 out of 100 time to implement them, but it must be totally opposite, is that once you've described them, that's when actually you start.
And what happens if a line leader is hesitant or reluctant to work according to the new...
This is a perfect question. It's so easy to answer. What happens is nothing. Nothing happens. So you'll just, you know, end up wasting everybody's time and making nice theoretical documents or charts that go to some SharePoint folder that nobody ever uses. So unless the manager does something, and actually unless the people who work in the processes do something differently, there will not be any impact. If you want to increase your performance, you have to do something differently and you have to do it in a better way. But of course, the demand side of things can increase. So even though you're not doing anything differently, you can sell more. But if you want something better to happen based on what you're doing, is that then you have to change things.
Sometimes I hear that there are fears in the organizations that what happens if one of the departments at the end will, I would say, refuse to implement the changes and the new process that we agree with them. So what happens when this situation is? Then this means that the change management was not implemented well, or
yeah, or the whole program was not, you know, managed well in a sense. But if I'm just thinking about a situation where somebody really says like explicitly and out loud that no, I refuse to work according to this, is that I think something has really gone fundamentally wrong. I have never been confronted with that somebody bluntly says that, no, take your papers away from my office, I'm not going to use them. But the more typical thing is that, you know, they somehow, yeah, okay, we're going to do it, but then nothing happens. So then that's what happens. you know, I wouldn't say in every case, but almost in every case. But of course, then there's like tons of different reasons why you're not acting upon something that you consider relevant or that we have agreed. But it's a matter of time management. It's a matter of competence. It's a matter of conflicting priorities. And it's a matter of misunderstanding. But I would say I never run into that scenario. And if you run into such a scenario, something has gone direly wrong.
So in this situation, you have to deep dive into the root causes.
In that situation, you'll have much more bigger problems than your processes within your organization. So you should work on them first.
We're going to cover that in a different podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But just thinking, what happens if line leader sees that the process is flawed? So we have our new business process, but there are some minor or bigger flaws in it. So what can they do?
There's always something missing or something's wrongly said, or a working instruction is outdated, or they need more help on how to click through the CRM and whatnot. So then we should open a feedback channel and work on the process together. And that process manager should be open for that, let's say, critique as well. And this brings us back to the question we were talking about earlier, that what has to change in the way managers think and lead? They have to go from closed to open. And this closed to open mindset, it's also how the process description is, that nothing that you'll just show it's here, just follow it and shut up. But rather you say that, okay, let's talk it through and let's see what you need for it to help you do your daily job better.
Well, that's good to hear. Next question is that how do you structure a BPM development program? So I think we've touched bits and pieces, but if you want to put together the big puzzle, how it would look like?
Yeah, bringing it all together. The first disclaimer is that each company is unique. So, of course, when you start off, you have to understand kind of who's who and what they're doing and make an inventory of their process management system and just look around a bit and really tailor your approach. But, of course, we do have a formula or a framework that we use, which actually has been tried and tested. The steps would typically include something like this. The very first thing you should do is to think about the motivation, that why would we be doing this? We should really get together and think first what business process management is all about in order for people to have the right mindset. Once the motivation is there and we have some idea what our process system could look like, is that then you would run through a couple of main phases. And those phases would be so that we start off with process architecture to identify the core processes. End to end, have a limited number of the core processes, and then you will set the boundaries for them, look at the inputs and the outputs of each of the processes, and then sketch what's included in them. And then you would do the process description, so agree on a way if we want to do the process documents as in the form of a narrative, or do we do a flow chart and do we do these one-pagers, general description? So you agree on the templates or the description models that you would be using. So first architecture, then you do the mapping, then the big transition that you go from this teams have described the way of working into now let's make this happen in real life and let's increase our performance through this framework. So what we usually do there is that we set up the change management framework there. We usually think about it based on four elements: how we steer it, how we implement it, how we communicate, and how we engage in learning through that program. After we've implemented the new processes, then what we'll do is set up the process metric framework. So use data warehouses and Power BI systems, have like visual KPI dashboards for the processes. Then we'll need to redesign them, improve them, you know, fix the processes. So that's when we set up the whole development thing. So that's usually in groups and have a bit of lean trainings, problem solving trainings, and really just get them comfortable with the documentation and the training platforms and whatnot. And then finally, it's trying to establish those processes everyday part of the working life in the organization, really try to make it as a permanent element in the operations and management model of the organization.
And how many years does it take to do that?
Because I think I referred to it earlier. So to be realistic, I would say it's years than months. So from 1 to 3 years. But of course, calendar time is calendar time and the networking time is networking time. So if you work more on it and work better, you'll do it faster. But if you drag along and if it's priority 10, it will just drag along for years. What I usually do is that I work with companies for from 1 to 3 years. And that's when we can have a well or a semi-established system in place at least.
And what results do they bring? I mean, results which are measurable business results. So just to have a feeling on that one also.
I'll say two things. So maybe if you want to differentiate between a benefit and a result. So as I said, it's all about the target. So what do we want to get out of our developing BPM? So there will be a list of targets which we are explicit about. So of course, you can evaluate how good you were by comparing that to those targets and the benefits you would be getting. And of course, results-wise, so we have these process performance KPIs, which can be cost-related or efficiency or volume or sales in the sales process and so on. So yes, we have gotten the trends up and really good results. And of course, it matters on the scope of the companies. But in one case, we talked about 1 million improvement in their cost base. And really, absolutely, the results and the benefits can be significant here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. To sum up, when we started, I had a feeling that it's kind of a hard topic, business process management. And at the end, we ended up talking much more about leadership issues and how organizations work and how that could change. And I'm very happy with that. So thank you, Matti, for this conversation. I think we touched a lot of very interesting and important points. Thank you for your insights and information on business process management. And thank you for our listeners being with us in this time.
Thanks for having me, and I really enjoyed the discussion, insightful as well. So it was great to be here.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Change That Work seeks to inspire a different way to transform organizations. Let's tune in again for our next episode.